The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, approached, rolled back the stone, and sat upon it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. The guards were shaken with fear of him and became like dead men. Then the angel said to the women in reply, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are seeking Jesus the crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has been raised from the dead, and he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." They went away quickly from the tomb, fearful yet overjoyed, and ran to announce this to his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them on the way and greeted them. They approached, embraced his feet, and did him homage. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go, tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Mary Magdalene, the first apostle, right? The one who is sent by Jesus to take his resurrected greetings to his brothers. All of you have that job tonight. We've maintained a vigil, at least a short one, in order to enter deeply into the Word of God and to see how salvation history has unfolded. You've all kept vigils yourselves. How many have kept vigil next to a sick child in bed? Yeah. Or the fathers waiting outside the delivery room, the old way, I guess. Now they're invited in, keeping vigil for the birth of their son or daughter. And maybe within this year, we all kept vigil with the Chilean miners. 70 days. Wondering, would they ever figure it out? Did anybody notice that it was a Catholic deacon who had the engineering tool to drive the hole deeper and deeper into the ground and let them be freed? Go Catholic deacons that also own large drilling firms. But many talked of faith. One of the miners, whose daughter was born while he was still underground, and before they really knew whether or not they would ever leave, had decided with his wife to name their daughter Esperanza, which in Spanish means hope. We are a people that are alive today, not for today, right? We live with the hope of eternal life, and that changes everything. What we see in salvation history as we walk through all of those readings, and I have a 10-minute homily for each of the seven.
Oh, man.
I totally do, but I will spare you that. We see in creation that God saw that it was very good. God continues to look upon creation and see it as very good. God calls us to do amazing things that are probably beyond our ability. Think of Abraham. Think of that wonderful little story of Isaac carrying the wood going, "And where's the sheep, Lord?" Abraham, confident, says, "The Lord will provide." Imagine carrying the wood for your own funeral pyre. Go Isaac. He had years of counseling afterwards to... But that trust that we're able to accomplish more than we can imagine is what bears that abundant fruit in our life. Right? None of us have accomplished great things by aiming low, by doing the minimum, by just barely getting by. The great things of the world have been accomplished by the human family, by dreaming bigger than we could ever imagine. Even as the next three prophets talk about when they're lost in Babylon. Right? Baruch and Isaiah, what did they say? They said, "You're not for here. You're not going to stay here. You are going to return to Jerusalem, and it's going to be better than you ever imagined." Right? There's two exoduses in our readings tonight. The exodus from Egypt and slavery, and the exodus from Babylon and the return to Jerusalem. We need to make those exoduses ourselves. There were commentators that talked about the exodus from the basement of the earth, where the Chilean miners were locked in a tomb. Right? They were locked in a tomb. And then they drilled a 4-inch hole. And then they drilled an 18-inch hole. And then they drilled a 27-inch hole, which was just wide enough to get your shoulders through. And then they dragged them out of there on a litter, one by one, taking several days, right? Several days to get them all out. We have in that image, you should hold on to that. Because that's what God is doing to us. One of my favorite saints from Turkey. Everyone has a favorite saint, but you need one from every country. So my favorite saint from Turkey is Saint Theodore of Mostovetskaya. Yeah, you know, you got to get one with a name that's unpronounceable. Makes it all the more fun. Well, he wrote that God is pulling us toward himself, like a fisherman that hauls on a line, or a dock person that's pulling and tying up a vessel. Like those Chilean miners were pulled out of the tomb and into the light. Could you imagine how bright the sun must have been after 70 days in darkness or near darkness? Eating power bars, right? How much food can you get down a 4-inch hole? They weren't rolling oranges down, although that might have been a good idea. So many of them knelt down, kissed the ground, and made the sign of the cross because they were free. Do we enjoy the same freedom? Absolutely. Do I take advantage of it and rejoice in it? Do I take it for granted and complain? "Oh, it's been such a rough day." Yeah, but I'm not locked in the death tomb. Miles below the surface of the earth, I'm feeling great. Right? It's perspective. Jesus is calling us to improve our perspective. We have been set free. And he's so excited about it, he can't wait to go to Galilee, right? Every one of the resurrection appearances says, "Go to Galilee, you'll see me there." And then they end up seeing him where? In Jerusalem. Or on the way to Emmaus. Right? They see him. He's on his way to Galilee, and maybe he waited there and figured out they hadn't come yet, so he ran back. However you run in the now glorified body. That last reading, could you imagine seeing lightning sitting upon the stone that was covering the tomb of your beloved friend who is now missing? Yeah, good thing they say, don't be afraid. All the men caved and fainted in fright. Tough women were able to ask the angel, and where is he? And he says, don't look for him here. Jesus the crucified is not dead. He's alive. Do we allow that to reach into the tombs of our own life? We have tombs. We have deep, painful experiences that we grieve. But we also have to look in there and say, oh, it's empty. Right? They didn't leave anybody at the bottom of the Chilean mine. It's empty. When we look into the depth of our own pain, into the depth of our own suffering, it's empty. We're not built for tombs. We're built for eternal life. And that gift is always ours. We can't lose it. Why? Because Jesus, just like that dock worker, is pulling us to heaven. Just as all that fancy drilling equipment pulled the Chilean miners out of their tomb, so God is working just as hard and keeping vigil to pull us all to new life. The tombs are empty. We might want to go back there. It might be comfortable to live in addiction or depression or despair. But those places are empty. God calls us out of them to a new life that we celebrate tonight. Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed.